Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first episode of the Wizards Windup. My name is Colby Giacobino. I am joined by Josh Vincent, my colleague. We both cover the Wizards and the NBA as a whole for Fox Sports 1340 AM. So, you know, what we're going to do is with here, just to give a really quick introduction, you know, we're going to try to do before every game, whether it's a day before, the afternoon prior, kind of preview the Wizards, you know, opponent for the next game. You know, we might hop on, you know, either a Monday or Tuesday, kind of go over what has happened in the NBA, you know, throughout the week. If something big happens, of course, we want to cover it. But definitely be sure to subscribe to the YouTube page. Follow us on Twitter at 1340 AM Fox Sports. Like us on Facebook. Check out our website, foxsports1340am.com. I think I covered all the bases. So now, once again, I'll introduce my colleague, Josh Vincent. How you doing, Josh?
Man, I'm doing pretty well. How you doing today, Kobe?
Good, good. So, you know, for those who don't know, Josh is actually in a layover in Pittsburgh. He will be heading down to Atlanta tonight to do the coverage for the game tomorrow. He is a man that never stays in one spot for too long.
This is true. This is true. Yeah. You know, I don't know who booked this flight. You know, I was like, hey, we'll just drop you off in Pittsburgh for a whole day and then we'll send you down to Atlanta. So, yeah. So,
hey, man.
So, hey, you know, it's the life of a beat writer, right?
Can't complain. I don't get out and travel as much as you do, but I live through it, through your tweets and your pictures. I have been to Pittsburgh. We played there a lot when I was in college, but you know, in terms of the other places you went, I mean, you've been also, you know, on the NFL beat covering the Cowboys pretty closely and stuff like that, just to give people some background about what you've been doing. You know, this guy's all over the country, folks, covering, you know, like I said, the Cowboys. He has a close relationship with Derrick Rose, so you can expect a lot of, you know, good stuff from him there. But other than that, you know, we'll be getting together a lot this year to cover Wizards games together. And just cover the Wizards as a whole. You know, this was my first time on it last year, when the station was just kind of getting brought up. You know, of course you go through that learning experience, but now, you know, I feel like I'm a little bit more seasoned. I kind of, you know what the motions are somewhat. I'm only going into my second year really writing and covering the NBA as a whole. So it's definitely a learning process, but I definitely look forward to working with you, man. I think it's going to be great. I think we're going to do good things here at Fox Sports.
Agree. You know, our new slogan now is that we're Virginia's number one source for all things Washington Wizards. So we gotta definitely live up to that name. But yeah, likewise, yeah. For the people that don't really know me, I started out covering the Minnesota Timberwolves for our college newspaper, the Milwaukee Post, which was a little weird. We covered the Timberwolves mainly because we had a lot of people from Minnesota that went to school over at the University of Wisconsin in Milwaukee. And then that just kind of grew into getting back into Chicago and covering Derek, you know, whether it was with his website or with the college newspaper or with my own website. And then that really grew from me just becoming a feature story writer to more so on the beat, where I was on the Chicago Bulls beat for the past, you know, 2 years, you know, with the same people over at the big newspapers in Chicago, the Tribune, the Sun-Times, ESPN Chicago, and all those guys. And then from there, I got a chance to cover the Washington Wizards for Summer League for Fox Sports 1340. And from there, our boss was like, hey, let's put two people together. Let's cover the Wizards. Let's dominate this beat as much as we possibly can. And, you know, that's where we're at now. So here we are, Josh and Kobe. We are definitely, you know, going to do our best to, you know, bring you guys the most extensive, exclusive content with the Washington Wizards starting tomorrow night down in Atlanta.
Yep, and like I said, mentioned before, you'll be down there. You'll be getting all the stories, I'm sure. I'll be looking forward to what you gather. I'm looking forward to this team as a whole, man. I mean, I was down. You know, you had the summer league. I covered media day. I covered a couple preseason games. You did too. And you know, just trying to get a feel for this team, kind of, you know, what direction they're going to go in. In my opinion, one of the most unpredictable teams heading into this season. But you know, let's rewind back to July really quick. We're going to go through it, and I want to get your opinion, off-season reaction. There was a ton of movement this free agency period between all the teams, but you know, we both knew the Wizards had a I like to call it a pipe dream of landing Kevin Durant.
Right.
You know, we knew that wasn't really going to happen. You know, they didn't even get a meeting with him, which was kind of disappointing, even though, you know, in my opinion, if they did did get a meeting with them, nothing was going to get finalized. But, you know, so they had to scatter. You know, so they went after – they had a top three. They had Al Horford. They had Ryan Anderson. Mm-hmm. And they had Nicholas Batum. Nicholas Batum, in my opinion, the most unrealistic of those three. But I was optimistic that they were at least, you know, going after him. I believe, you know, they had a phone interview with him or a phone call with him to talk about what they could offer. Didn't end up even getting to that point. Batum resigns, max money. Can't blame him. Ryan Anderson, that was the guy I personally really wanted them to land, a guy who can stretch the floor at the you know, stretch four position. You know, he goes down to Houston. I think he's going to have a career year there with D'Antoni's offense. We saw, you know, we got a hint of what we're going to see during the regular season, the preseason. It's going to be dangerous. Al Horford, that was the one that really surprised me. I knew we were going to try to go after him, but I thought we had zero chance of getting him. Wizards end up in the top two with the Celtics. End of the story, Celtics win.
Boston,
I mean, you can't blame them. But, you know, so then the Wizards were left, you know, strike one, strike two, strike three, strike four, if you count Kevin Durant. Now they're scattering. So They got to get a bunch of role players. And, you know, for the position they were in, I can't say they did a bad job. They picked up, you know, Andrew Nicholson, a guy from Orlando who got some time but didn't really get his full opportunity there just because it was a crowded front court. Jason Smith, maybe a guy I'm not as high on, but he's a legit 7-footer who can, you know, shoot out to the 18, 20, 22-foot range. I mean, he can spread the defense out. We traded basically nothing for Trey Burke. I'll take it. You know, we lost Ramon Sessions. We needed some scoring and energy and, you know, behind John Wall. And then really, in my eyes, you know, oh, of course I forgot. I don't know how I'm forgetting. Yan Mahimi, we pick him up, you know, on a big contract. He's something that the Wizards haven't had in a shot blocking, rim protecting, you know, big man that is an elite defender. And then, you know, Thomas Satoransky comes over from Europe. And I think that's a guy that's really going to, you know, catch a lot of people's eyes. So just wanted to lay that foundation out for people. Josh, what are your offseason reactions? How did they do? Were you disappointed? Are you optimistic? Go for it.
Well, I'm optimistic. One of the main things that I saw that they did was the extension with Bradley Beal. That was something that happened right around Summer League when we were all out there in Las Vegas. And I think that was really essential. You definitely want to keep that core together. My biggest concern really wasn't necessarily the moves the Wizards made. It was really the growth of their young guy, Kelly Oubre. Because when you think about the success that the Wizards are going to have as far as like long-term and maybe even short-term, you want to see like where did he grow? Because there's a lot of high expectations. The ceiling is really high for him. And they did just recently pick up, I think, his third and fourth year option. So the question for me, or the biggest thing for me, was those two things. The addition to, you know, getting Bradley Beal, the extension, and then really seeing Kelly Oubre grow over Summer League and how that's going to transition or translate, I should say, you know, during the regular season. So those were the two things. So, no, I wasn't necessarily disappointed. I do agree with you. This is one of those teams where you just don't really know exactly where it's going to go. It kind of reminds me of the Chicago Bulls. Like, you just don't know what's going to happen with the Wizards this season. You know, then you had that story with John Wall and Bradley Beal. Like, was there some tension there? And then you had people saying that John Wall didn't like the fact that Bradley Beal was making a lot of money just like he is, you know. So it's just like you wonder, like, how all of that is going to play into the regular season. The one positive note, and this is why I'm somewhat optimistic, is the fact that originally we did not think that John Wall was going to be ready for the start of the season. Remember, you know, with that, with the surgery and injury and things of that nature, we thought that maybe he would be out for a while. And, you know, with Trey Burke being picked up, we thought Trey Burke was going to be, you know, the starting point guard for a little while. So to say now they can go down to Atlanta with John Wall, you know, being their starter, being their leader, I'm optimistic. A little nervous, though, because they do have a rough schedule, and we'll get into that later for the first 12 games. But, yeah, I'm very optimistic as far as what they did over the summer.
This is why we work together. Totally forgot about the, you know, the Brad Beal extension. Didn't even mention that. And, you know, right off the bat, you know, you got a lot of people on Twitter, stuff like that, saying, why are they giving him this money? You don't understand that, you know, number one, who else are they going to get? They're not going to bring in a DeMar DeRozan. They weren't going to bring in, you know, another highly thought of shooting guard. Number two,
exactly.
Yes, Bradley Beal has dealt with injury after injury, and hopefully he can break that streak, you know, this year. But we did see when he is healthy, he is an all-star caliber shooting guard. Now, I'm not saying he's a top two, top three. He might be getting on the verge of a top five in that conversation. But, I mean, what people forget is last year in the first five games, he averaged 25 points per game when he was healthy. And he was a top five scorer. And he hit the game winner against the Spurs. Like, this guy can play. And he is a huge piece to this puzzle for the Wizards. And, you know, they haven't gotten anything going. I mean, granted, you know, we went from, you know, when I say we, I mean, you know, the Wizards fans. You know, they went from a terrible franchise in the early 2000s. Then Gilbert came around. There was, you know, some bright spots. Then we went down to another dead season. And now, you know, they're back in the playoff mix. We missed the playoffs. We had – I mean, keep saying we. I'm just trying to speak for them. But the Wizards had the Wizards had a disappointing season last season. They were 500.
Yeah.
That's what I got to think of. Touching on the Oubre thing, definitely. I kind of wish he would have gotten more time last year. Now, he did get, I'm pretty sure, 9 starts. But that was just due to all the injuries the veterans had. And they kind of, you know – Randy Whitman had to play him. I didn't think Randy Whitman really wanted to play him. I mean, he's going to make his mistakes, but on the back end of those 9 games where he was starting, you really saw him and John Wall start to form a chemistry on the penetration and kicks, and that's what kind of players that this Wizards team needs. What did you touch on after that? I'm sorry, I lost it.
Oh, then I was talking about, I guess, like as far as chemistry with John Wall and Bradley Beal. That's essential as well. Oh, and we didn't even mention the fact that the Wizards have a new coach. So let's also throw that in the mix. Right. Let's also throw
it's our first time, folks. It's our first episode. Come on.
So, you know, let's also throw that in the mix. So, you know, you have all of these young guys. You have this young talent. And you saw what Scotty did out there in Oklahoma City with young guys. You know, the first person that comes to mind is Andre Roberson. To me, as you look at, you know, how his ceiling wasn't that much when he got into the league out there in Oklahoma City, and how Scotty Brooks and that Thunder organization really developed him, you know, into what he is today. So when you translate that again, going back to the Wizards, again, I think that's going to be the great thing for this team is that they do have a new coach who it looks like he's actually open to listening to suggestions. Because one thing about Randy, it was like Randy way or no way, you know, and Randy wasn't that versatile as far as, like you say, trying to bring in Kelly Oubre in the rotation. I think, like you mentioned, he just really did that because of the injuries, you know, that he had to deal with. So he had to just kind of bring Oubre in there. So I think that's going to be the biggest factor right there is that you're going to have a brand new coach, a new system, how John Wall, Bradley Beal, and this team is going to kind of mix into that. And then in addition, how he will develop a lot of these younger guys that's on this team, because that's going to be the future of this team. It's one thing to, you know, remain good now, but what happens moving forward this season, next season, the season after that? And you definitely going to need the growth of your younger players. Trey Burke, for example, you know, there are going to be times where Trey is going to be in the game. You can't have John Wall playing all, you know, all the minutes. So, you know, he didn't really do what he wanted to do out there in Salt Lake City with the Jazz. So it's like, okay, let's see how he, you know, comes into this rotation. And he did pretty well so far from what I saw, you know, during the preseason. So it's going to be nice to see how Scotty Brooks worked these different pieces together. But the main thing, I think, if you asked, like, well, what's going to be the make or break? I think the chemistry between John Wall and Bradley Beal, them trusting each other, because if you have a situation where they're not on the same page, that's just going to trickle down in the locker room and, you know, you will have another dismal season on your hands.
I don't want to say that situation was overblown because, I mean, in a way, you do have to pay attention to that. But I think once the internet got a hold of it, it brought it to a whole different level on I don't think that was the intentions behind Wall and Beal. Now, the words that they used were kind of questionable. I mean, you know, some of the words that they were using, I was, you know, you don't have to say it like that. And they did. But I mean, right. You know, if they have that type of relationship, here's how I bring it up. And, you know, of course, we flooded Brad with those type of questions on Media Day. And, you know, he said it perfectly in my eyes. He said pretty much he views John as a big brother. And as a big brother, you're going to hate him and you're going to love him. At the end of the day, you're going to go to war for him. So, you know, and there's no question about that. So I thought that kind of put an end to that all. Now, people who don't follow the Wizards as closely still think that's going to be a problem. I think it's completely put aside. From the preseason action that I've watched, and I don't take too much from preseason, but the big criticism behind Wall was he doesn't pass to Beal enough. I thought he was getting Beal a lot more involved, just in terms of when he crosses half court, just give it to Beal right away. instead of having Wall trying to dictate everything, which he does and usually is successful. But with Beal, his money, his expectations, they're all going up. So he's got to get more involved.
This is very true.
Another thing with Wall, and you know, you were talking about Trey Burke. We can even throw Sadoransky into this conversation. You know, mm-hmm. Wall recently came out and said that he's not expecting to play 38, 40 minutes for the first couple of weeks. And mm-hmm. one thing in the rotation last year was he would play the entire first quarter. I don't think we're going to see that this year. Now, you know, different players have their preferences, but and this all relates back to the hiring of Scott Brooks, which I loved. But I don't. I think Scott Brooks is a lot more smarter coach of that, of monitoring guys' minutes in terms of still trying to win the game, but seeing the bigger picture. You don't need Wall to you know, run those knees down again. Now, he did get the procedures on both knees this year, this summer. Like you said, very questionable whether he would return. Mm-hmm. He comes back against the Knicks and has three, you know, huge dunks. So after that, you kind of exhale and you're like, okay, he's fine. And, you know, just to touch on what the Wizards did have last year, Randy Whitman, you know, from what I've gathered from the quotes from the players and stuff like that, Whitman was not only an old school coach, he loved the mid-range. That's obviously dead in today's NBA. And he played favorites to especially Sessions and Nene. You could tell.
Yeah.
You know, he was always sticking with them for a long period of time. Now, he really couldn't with Sessions because you have Wall, you kind of have to play him. But especially with Nene, I mean, I think Nene was very out of shape last year and he was kind of dinged up. So that on top of a whole bunch of time obviously doesn't help. Scott Brooks, the addition of Scott Brooks, great. First thing that popped in my mind was Kelly Oubre. First thing. And I know people, you know, listen, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, they pretty much were going to be a superstar no matter what when they got this league.
For sure.
But you have to give some credit to Brooks in you know, developing them and teaching them the game and teaching them how to be successful. You know, a guy like Kevin Durant, you can't, you know, he, like I said, he'd be a superstar no matter what. But if he goes to the Sacramento Kings, he might have, you know, different stuff going on. I personally think that Sacramento Kings are a black hole for any talent. I think that's been proven.
Yeah.
But, you know, you definitely have to have that cohesion with the coach. Scott Brooks is known as being a player's coach. That's something that the Wizards haven't had in a while. That's going to be something to really watch out for. I think the players have, you know, taken well after him thus far. Like I said, we haven't played one regular season game yet. So we'll see when they go on a 3-4 game losing streak, if they start pointing fingers and what happens. I think that's really how you tell how a team is going to be that year. But
very true.
You know, hey, it all starts tomorrow night, Josh. They got the Atlanta Hawks. And, you know, just to kind of skim past the Atlanta Hawks too, they're another team taking on a – I don't want to say a completely different, but, you know, 75% different identity. I mean, you know, they get rid of Jeff Teague, Al Horford, two cornerstone players in their success. You know, they hand the keys to Dennis Schroeder, you know, the young point guard, and they bring in Dwight Howard. Honestly, you know, I covered the Hawks somewhat closely this summer as well. I think the moves are going to benefit them. I don't think it's going to be as much as a drop-off that people are making. Dwight Howard has gotten a bad rap. Personally, I think it's because his last two stops at the Lakers and Houston, I think it was a lose-lose situation, but he still puts up solid numbers. Now he's in a well-organized, structured franchise with great management, great coaching, elite coaching for that matter, who knows I was going to get him involved. He gives the Hawks something they never had, an elite shot blocker, a rebounder, something that Horford wasn't. Now they're not going to stretch the floor as much, but he also gives them an elite ball screen roll, you know, throw it up, let him lob it, let him go slam it home. So, you know, I'll hand it off to you now. What do you think – you know, how do you see this game shaping up tomorrow night? What are the matchups that you're going to watch, break down? Give it to me.
Well, first thing I'm looking at, as you mentioned, I'm looking at how these two teams, their chemistry gel together as far as on both sides. Both of these teams are pretty, like you just mentioned, pretty much completely different. So the first thing I'm going to watch is you know, how does John Wall and Bradley Beal and this new team, how do they react when they find themselves down? You know, it's going to be in Atlanta. I don't know if the crowd is really going to be a factor. One thing about Atlanta, Atlanta is one of those cities where you have a lot of people that come from other cities to kind of, you know, cheer for the other team or whatever the case may be. So, I mean, you know, I think I would be surprised if it's a sold out game. I mean, if you look at ticket prices, you can still get cheap tickets for like $30 right now. So, so I don't think it's going to be like, you know, one of those things where it's like, oh, they're going to be playing against the crowd as well. But I think I'm definitely looking at the chemistry on both sides of the team. I want to see how Dwight Howard returns when he is back home in Atlanta. As you mentioned, with his stopping in L.A. and his stop in Houston, he got a lot of bad rap, and this is pretty much is going to be his last big contract. So I'm definitely looking forward to seeing, you know, how he's going to react. As you mentioned with Dennis, I'm looking forward to seeing how Dennis is going to really lead that team. This is his team now. He's the guard now. You know, there's no more Jeff T. You know, so this is going to be, you know, his team. So I think this is going to be a game that's going to be a little low scoring. I don't think that they're really going to be like something. It's not going to be one of those big matchups that you're like looking forward to watching, I guess. It's going to be a little dry game. But I think whoever – I think when you look at both of these teams, though, you'll definitely see like what direction they're going. As far as the Wizards go, I'm definitely wanting them to, I guess, really show us what they got for this season, because you got two hard games coming up. You got – this game in Atlanta, and then you got the next game over in Memphis. And you know, Memphis, they have all their players back as well. So if I'm a fan of Washington, I'm definitely want to see like how are the Wizards going to face the adversities facing against two of your, you know, toughest teams. Atlanta being a tough team, definitely I believe is going to make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to have a dramatic drop off, as you already stated. And then Memphis, they have Memphis the very 2 days after, which, you know, that's a Western Conference team that's always, you know, making the playoffs, and they did well even when they had nobody last year when all their players got injured. So those are the things that I'm looking for as far as the Wizards. But yeah, I'm definitely looking at Scott Brooks, as you mentioned. I'm looking to see is John Wall going to play the entire first quarter, or, you know, will Trey Burke come in, you know, and things of that nature. So I'm looking at those little small things just to try to see like what can we see going forward. I'm not like a lot of those other people that's just bringing everything on one game, as we saw last night, right? Everybody is saying, hey, the Warriors are not going to be champions again, the Cavs are going to go undefeated, and the Knicks are going to miss the playoffs. No, I don't think – and Dame Lillard is going to be MVP. No, hey, calm down, everybody. Like, it's one game. So that's my same, you know, thought, you know, going into this. It's one game. So let's slow down, you know, let's just see, you know, what this team is going to offer. But this is my one caution. I hope that, you know, Scotty Brooks and that medical staff is really monitoring John Wall, because you don't want a situation where he maybe came back too soon or whatever the case may be. So, yeah, let him play, you know, 25 minutes. You know, let your backups come in. You know, you don't have to necessarily go full strong right now. And that's one of the major keys, I think, for them to be successful, is in, at least over these next two and a half weeks, really just let John Wall continue to get acclimated. It's one thing to play preseason, and he did well. But it's a whole nother thing where, you know, you having back-to-backs now. You're, you know, you're in all these games and you're expected to, you know, actually try to win. You know, you're not playing. It's not a situation where, like, in preseason, you have a lot of people that didn't make the roster. They're just kind of, you know, trying to, you know, get their break. You know, it's the actual regular season. So definitely I'm watching John Wall and seeing, you know, how his role as a leader under a new coach, how all of that's going to, you know, translate into the regular season. So those are a few of the things that I'm watching. But it's kind of hard, as we spoke earlier, it's a little hard to kind of match these two teams up because everybody is brand new. You know, these two teams are pretty new. So we'll just have to kind of watch it and then reanalyze it to say, okay, well, yeah, this is what I noticed. This is what I didn't notice.
Yeah, in terms of predicting, you know, who's going to be the winner's game, that's, you know, what I meant when it's going to say it's going to be tough, just because these teams mm-hmm. are trying to kind of take on a new identity, trying to, you know, formulate a direction for their team this year. But going through matchups, I mean, to the average NBA fan, yes, it might be a boring game to watch. But to, you know, NBA nerds like you and myself, you know, I love this mm-hmm. matchup. So, you know, I took some numbers from last year. Now, you know, you have to really take a lot into mind when doing this. But, you know, when the Wizards played Houston, just to see how Gortat did against Howard last year. And Gortat, you know, did solidly. Mm-hmm. So they played twice. The first game, Gortat finished 18 points, 13 rebounds, and a loss. Second game, 13 points, 11 rebounds, and a win. And then for Dwight, he finished 4 points and 9 rebounds in the win, and then 20 points and 7 rebounds in the loss. Now here's the thing. Here's where Gortat really had the upper hand on Howard last year, was just getting up and down the floor. Gortat's one of the best centers in the league, running the floor, you know, trailing John, you know, in the break, you know, and then also in semi transition, you know, getting that ball screen rolling real quick while his man's still trotting down the floor. My thing is, Dwight's looked a lot better in preseason this year. His body looks a lot better. His back looks intact. He looks a lot more mobile. He put in a lot of work this summer. I don't know if Gortat has that much of the upper hand on him now in terms of running the floor. I still think he's definitely more mobile than Dwight. Dwight's a mobile guy, but he's never been one of the top mobile centers in the league. And then, you know, so you move over a spot and you go to Markieff and Paul Millsap. Paul Millsap, in my opinion, one of the most underrated players in the league. But they kind of play similarly, right? I mean, now Markieff can't stretch the floor out to a three per se consistently, right. But, you know, Millsap has shown that growth in his game, but you know, they both play out on the perimeter. I'm going to take my guy off the dribble. They both have similar builds, similar athleticism, and what have you. So I think that one's pretty neck and neck. Then you go to, you know, Otto Porter, Kent Bazemore, which will be one to watch. Bazemore's really, you know, taking the next step in his development, especially last year. Hawks fans are very intrigued to see if he can take another step this year. He's developed a 3-point shot. As we all know, he can put the ball on the floor and rise up over defenders and slam it home. Mm-hmm. And then you have these are the last two positions is where I think the game will be won. And I think that's where the Wizards need to take advantage. And that's that shooting guard and point guard. Shooting guard, you got Kyle Korver, Bradley Beal. Of course, Kyle Korver, an elite shooter. A lot of people writing him off just because he's getting older. I see it. But, and I know he depends on his legs moving off the ball a lot. But, you know, at the end of the day, shooter's going to shoot and they're always going to have an impact on, you know, what the defense does.
This is true.
You know, it's not like you can just write somebody off. We saw what Ray Allen did. Ray Allen could still play in the league and have an impact. He might not score 20, but he's going to have an impact on the game. I think offensively, Beal needs to run him wild. I think we need to get a lot of, you know, screens, ball screens in with Bradley Beal and make Korver fight. All game, they might quickly turn to a guy like Thabo Sefolosha, you know, a primarily defensive guy to kind of cool down Brad if he gets going. And then, you know, we have Dennis Schroeder versus John Wall, and you know, right off the bat, you got to say Wall has the upper hand in that matchup. But you know, Schroeder is young, he's explosive, he's athletic, he's gritty. You know, he gets after it, but he does go through times where, you know, he has mental lapses. He turns the ball over. He shoots bad shots. He forces situations. I think that's where opportunities need to arise, where the Wizards need to take advantage of that, get out the open floor, finish on some, you know, some easy transition baskets. And then the half court, I'm kind of, you know, I'm anxious to watch because, in my opinion, Atlanta's going to be an elite defensive squad. You know, they were top two last year. You add Howard. I think they're going to contend with, say, the Spurs for the top defensive team coming up, and Boston, of course, they'll be another elite defensive squad. But you know, the aura around Scott Brooks is that, you know, his X's and O's on offense aren't impressive. You know what he did at OKC with Russ and Durant. You know, people thought he could have gotten a little bit more complex with his sets. Right. You know, my whole thing is, and I've said this since day one, if Otto Porter can become a consistent 3-point shooter from the corner, I think Brooks' offense can work perfectly. A lot of screen and rolls, a lot of, you know, so Wall can continuously just penetrate, decide what to do, either, you know, dish it back to Gortat for a layup off the roll. He can attack the rim or just, you know, surround. That's where I really want to see. I want to see John Wall surrounded with shooters. I think that's lethal. I think that's a lethal combination if you did that. The Wizards really haven't had that with Bradley Beal in and out of the lineup, Otto Porter being inconsistent with his shot.
Yeah.
But we'll see what you know he can do. I think another big factor here is going to be on the rebounding. Of course, a lot of that's the stat that really gets overlooked is rebounding. That's pretty much, you know, where a lot of games are won and lost. Atlanta has the reputation of being a very bad rebounding team. But as we both said before we got onto this, they're a different team now. They go out and get an elite rebounder.
Different team, yeah.
They go out and get an elite rebounder. They have guys off the bench. Chris Humphries, you know, a guy that people don't think highly of, but the guy goes after and you know, and corrals rebounds. You can't argue that.
Yeah, real scrappy. Yep. Yeah.
You can't argue that. I mean, did it for his time with the Wizards as well. So, you know, that's going to be a focus for the Wizards. Keep them off the boards. Keep Howard off the boards. You know, they have a couple guys, rookies, that are very gritty and Taurean Prince. You know, you could argue top three coach in the league in terms of schemes, in terms of, you know, his defensive reputation, everything. I mean, his players play for him. He puts him in position to be successful. And, you know, we've seen that over the years. But I think this is a good game for the Wizards to kind of figure stuff out. I don't know if this is going to, you know, of course, like you said, it's game one out of 82, folks. We're not going to see the Wizards team that we're going to see now. And, you know, the same thing in April. If you don't believe that, please fast forward and watch the entire season last year, because in the first five games, they looked really solid. Bradley Beal, like I said, got off to a hot start, and then all of a sudden it crumbles. People don't put that
down.
You know, people don't put that into mind. So, you know, when you're watching this, take it with a grain of salt. Of course, watch the schemes. I'm interested to kind of see what you gather from this game. Afterwards, you know, pregame, whatever, you know, how the players, you know, what their mindsets are, how Brooks is planning on attacking, you know, this game, because quite honestly, you know, unless it's from film from preseason, I don't know how much you can take from this, just because with Atlanta, Howard is such a wrench in what they used to do. Usually it's with Atlanta, you know, they can switch every screen and roll. They're five out, free flowing offense, motion, you know, on the offensive end. Now, you know, they take on a different identity. So I don't even know if Brooks is, you know, he's prepared, but I don't even really know if he knows 100% what the Hawks are going to throw at him. And you know, pretty much vice versa as well. But you know, it's definitely going to be a good matchup, a good way to start, you know, the opening. I would like for the Wizards to start out, you know, the season with a win. But you know, at the end of the day, I want to see, like you said, when adversity hits, how does this team react?
Exactly.
So, you know, like I said, guys, you follow. We'll plug our Twitter names at the end. But tomorrow night, be sure to be following Josh's feed. You know, he's going to have quotes from the game. He's going to have, you know, his insights from what's going on. I'm going to try to catch it at home and kind of give my two cents. I'll probably be rewatching it and give my other two cents. But, you know, it Wizards Hawks, it's the beginning of the NBA season. Nobody's complaining. The best time of year, in my opinion.
Agreed.
Yep. But, hey, let's transition really quick. You know, we got about 5-10 more minutes looking into the, you know, you brought up, you know, before we went live, how difficult the first 10-12 games that the Wizards schedule is. And that's the thing. I don't want Brooks to depend on Wall for those big minutes, even if it's close games. Like you said, I want them to monitor that closely in the beginning.
For sure.
Just till he gets his legs under him 100%. But I don't think they would throw him out there if he wasn't 100%. I don't think John would necessarily go out there either this early in the season. But
This is true.
Run down the first 10 to 12 games of the schedule, just so the folks can kind of get a handle on who they play, and then, you know, just give me your insight.
Starting from tomorrow all the way down to November 19th, they have a pretty tough schedule, with the exception of maybe when they play at Philadelphia and at Orlando. Starting off, like as they just heard us speak about, they're down in Atlanta tomorrow night. Sunday, they play against Memphis. The one advantage that they do have against Memphis will be coming on a back-to-back. Memphis is actually playing in New York on Saturday against the Knicks for their opener, and then Memphis will have to fly right back home and play the Grizzlies. I mean, not the Grizzlies. They are the Grizzlies. To play against the Washington Wizards. So I'm reading Grizzlies there. So, yeah, so the Grizzlies will host the Washington Wizards there on Sunday. Then opening night out in D.C., they host the Raptors. And now you see what happened during the preseason, their last game, what they did to Toronto. Toronto, they're going to feel some type of way about that. So definitely you're going to see during the regular season, they're going to come really hard. Then almost a week from tomorrow, November 4th, that's a Friday, so a week and a day, they play Atlanta again, but then that's also at home. Then they go down to Orlando and face a really completely different Orlando Magic team, right? So that's going to be interesting to see as well. And then again, that's a back-to-back. Then they play Houston and Boston and Cleveland all at home. So, yeah, it's going to be great. The great games to cover. Houston, Boston, and the Cavaliers. That's November 7th, 9th, and 11th. That's a Monday, Wednesday, and a Friday. But those are all difficult opponents. You saw just last night how the Cavaliers dismantled the New York Knicks there. So that's going to be a tough game for Washington. And after they face the Cavaliers on Friday, they fly out to Chicago to face the brand new Chicago Bulls, Jimmy Butler, Rajon Rondo, Dwayne Wade. So again, there's no break in sight for this team. They have Philadelphia on Wednesday in Philly, and then they have a back-to-back against the Knicks. The very next day, they come down to Washington, play the Knicks, and then they have Miami on that Saturday, November 19th. So all in all, over the next, three and a half weeks, the only two games that you could probably say, oh, that's an easy win, would could possibly be Orlando or could possibly be against Philadelphia. But the problem, you know, with that is that you have a very difficult schedule ahead. And so that's why, as we mentioned, a few things that, you know, you definitely want to be concerned about. John Wall and monitoring him, you definitely want to make sure, you know, he's good. And then you want to put trust into some of these younger players. You want to put trust in Kelly Oubre. You want to put trust in Trey Burke, just to name a couple, because these are some difficult opponents that they're facing against. These are not just easy wins. So what I would tell, you know, the Wizard fans, yeah, they may be below 500 severely by November 19th if they can't keep up with the level of competition. However, it's how they, I guess, react to it. And that's why I'm thinking this schedule right here is going to be really telling as far as where this team goes. Now, the only bad thing, and I'm not sure if people got a chance to read, I actually wrote about the Wizards schedule in its totality. The only bad thing about the Wizards schedule, when you look way, way down the road, like in March and April, they have both of their West Coast road trips. So they're going to be dominating out in the Western Conference. So it's like for the Wizards, you show your identity as early as you possibly can, because you don't want to find yourself down there in the mix, barely in, barely out, and then you have to face all of those Western teams, you know, San Antonio, Golden State, the Clippers, the Jazz, Portland. They play all of those teams out there on the Western, out there in the Western Conference towards the latter part of the season. So just to kind of give an entire view of the season as a whole, the Wizards have a difficult schedule, and their first 2.5, 3 weeks is going to definitely show us what this team is made out of and how Scottie Brooks, you know, can keep a handle on things. Because on paper, you may say out of the first, 12 to 15 games, they only really have two, quote-unquote, easy wins. Not saying that they're going to go 2-10 or 2-4, you know, or anything like that, but I'm just saying that, you know, how they react to these, to the schedule, is definitely going to be interesting, to say the least. So that's just a look at the schedule right there. And as you mentioned, one thing I want to make a quick note on, we'll be live in Atlanta. You know, we'll be there, shoot around, trying to see, you know, what Scottie Brooks, what his plans are, you know, as far as the game. We'll be there for that. Definitely we'll have the post-game reaction. We'll do a live shot down in Atlanta. I'll actually be there around 5 o'clock today. So we'll definitely be set up down in Atlanta to, you know, get everything together for the Wizards Nation. And so people can understand exactly what Kobe and I are doing. We will, like, be on the beat, like where you see other, you know, competitors of ours, you know, where they're on the beat. We're on the beat. Kobe and I will work together at the game November 2nd, Wednesday in Washington, D.C. We'll be there live when they play against the Raptors. So we'll give you those perspectives. We'll give you those exclusives, those feature stories, all of that. And so definitely make sure, you know, you continue to stay with us, because, you know, jump on a bandwagon early. Tell them, go ahead. Jump on a bandwagon early.
Hey, I couldn't wrap that up, you know, any better, man. And the thing that people don't realize is, you know, yes, the NBA season is a long season, 82 games, just, you know, not as long as the baseball season, but, you know, it takes up a good chunk of the calendar.
It does.
But every game matters, you know, and the thing – the other thing I didn't get your opinion on really quick, and like I said, we'll just touch on this really quick and then we'll wrap up. Okay. What's your win total expectation for this team? Personally, for me, I think it can go two ways. I think they can either go 38, they can go 44. I feel like those are the, I feel like, or they can fall somewhere in between. I know that's a pretty big scale, but I think, you know, I think they could go as high. Now, say if they rattle off a couple more wins, maybe 46, possibly even 48. I think they could land if they, everything, if all dominoes fall in the right place, Bradley Beal plays 70 plus games. John Wall doesn't have any, you know, setbacks in his recovery. You know, Kelly Oubre's playing solidly off the bench. You're getting good production from your young guys. Satoransky, you know, Nicholson, Mahimi comes back and is, has a tremendous impact. I think they could finish as high as maybe the fifth seed. That's what the ceiling I'm setting for this team is. The floor, Bradley Beal gets hurt. John Wall starts coming out with injuries. You know, and pretty much the opposite of everything I just said, they could fall, you know, they could fall 10 to 12th, honestly. The only thing that kept this team, this team's head above water last year is John Wall was just fighting through every injury that he had. He was clawing his way to any victory that he could, and it, it happened to be 500, which in most NBA teams is a successful season. But, you know, obviously here you have a superstar in John Wall. You have a potential all-star in Bradley Beal. Expectations are a lot higher. Like I said,
very true.
I got it around 44 to 38. Where are you at?
I'm there as well. I think my plus or minus is they were 41 and 41 last season. So my plus or minus would be like plus or minus five. There are going to be five games that the you look at last season. There were probably five games if you went through their schedule last season that the Wizards probably could have won. You know, just a turnover there, a missed rebound there, an extra, you know, opportunity there. The Wizards could have won maybe five games. You can go through their roster, their season last year. Now, again, yes, it was a different roster, different situation, different coaching staff, all of that. But you look at this season, I say if their minimum is, was 41-41, if that's where they landed at last season, I could say they could go plus five, minus five. You know, they could definitely possibly win five additional games this season. As you mentioned, they could be the fifth seed out there in the Eastern Conference. Or if you have injuries, if you have chemistry issues, you have lack of trust in the coach, you have those things that kind of, you know, can eat at a good team, then, yeah, this will be a very, very long, drawn-out season. And for writers like us, yeah, we'll definitely keep, you know, we'll keep it going with all the messy hot takes and things of that nature. Yeah, it'll be fun for us, but for the fan base, you know, right, yeah, it's kind of like when I was on the Chicago Bulls beat, right? We had a great time talking about Derek and Jimmy Butler, yeah, so we could definitely do that in Washington if that's what they want to do. But hopefully, as far as the fan base is concerned, I believe a plus or minus a five from 41. So yeah, they can easily be one of those teams. And even the guys last night on TNT said that, you know, they believe that the Wizards are going to be one of those teams that's going to sneak in. I think they can do more than sneak in. I think if they really buy into Scottie Brooks' system, they see what he did with KD and Russ, I really believe that this team could be, I'm not going to say superior, because obviously the Cavs are superior. But when you look across the Eastern Conference in general, pretty much look different, right? The Bulls are different. The Knicks are different. Boston added some pieces. The Cavs are really like that only team that's the same, and maybe Detroit. But then again, you know, you have injuries and all types of things that can plague a team. So, you know, if you have, you know, a team like Toronto that's facing injuries, if you have a team like Boston that may have injuries, you know, so it's always that variable that you really can't, it's really hard to just say like, oh yeah, this team is definitely going to go and win 47 games, because you just never know. So it's one of those things where it's like, if they can win the games that they should win, they should beat Orlando. There should be no problem there. They should beat Philadelphia. There should be no problem there. So when they are facing those types of – you got Memphis on a back-to-back. The Knicks are going to be very hungry trying to, you know, win in front of their home crowd after, you know, just getting blown out the other day in Cleveland. I think that's their very next game is Saturday. They're out for the rest of the next few days. Yeah, so you're going to have a beaten-up Grizzly team. They should win that game. So it's those types of things where it's like when you look at the schedule from that perspective, if the Wizards win the game, games that they should win, then it's then you're in a better position. You're not in April and late March trying to fight for the eighth seed or fight for the seventh seed. You know, you're in great position. So that would be my advice to the Wizards. Win the games that you should win. Take advantage of these teams that are coming off back-to-backs. Take advantage of these teams that you should easily blow out, and then continue to grow. And then let's see what happens. So that, yeah, so for sure, if you look at from that perspective, they might lose the game in Atlanta tomorrow. They may. And then they should definitely win the next two. They should definitely win against Memphis. And then, of course, you want to win in front of your home crowd. So, already, you're 2-1. now what? You know, so it's one of those things. If you break it down game by game like that, again, that's why I give such a high plus or minus four, you know, five. And when I wrote that story, everybody thought I was crazy. It was like, oh, wow, you really think the Wizards are going to get, you know, almost, you know, 50 wins? And I was like, nah, not necessarily. But at the same time, if they do take care of the teams that they should beat, then I think they are in better position to be successful. And, I mean, that can be said about any team, but we're talking about the Wizards right now.
Plenty of variables, man, that go into the NBA season for every NBA team. I mean, we saw if you're not a believer in that, you obviously didn't watch last season. There's a ton of things that go into it. You know, Josh, this was fun, man. And for the people who, you know, are maybe just joining us or, you know, or have been listening to us on the pod, we'll be coming at you. Like I said, we're going to try to do this before every Wizards game, whether it's the day before or the morning before, the afternoon before, whenever me and Josh's schedule kind of coincides, we're going to get this in. And, you know, even if after the day after a game, if we don't get it in before, we'll get it after, some analysis, some takeaways, mm-hmm. some quotes from the players, you know, whatever it takes is what we're going to do. So Josh, right before we sign off, you know, plug your Twitter name, tell the people if you have anything in the works, and this goes, you know, this is the Wizards wind up, but this goes for your NFL work too. People, you got to follow Josh if you're a sports fan. Tell him if you have any articles in the works, what you're going down to Atlanta with, if you have any plans. You know, don't give away your stuff, but what angles are you heading down there with? You know, what have you?
But overall, let me first start by saying this. Thanks, Kobe. I appreciate this. I think this is going to be a really great thing. If people don't really know about our network, our affiliation, Fox Sports 1340 AM, I joked earlier in the podcast, but that is actually our saying. We are proof to say that we are the number one source in Virginia for all things Washington Wizards. The station is in Virginia. We are the number one source of all things Washington Wizards in Virginia. And as far as the NFL goes, yeah, I cover the Dallas Cowboys. So, and also, I mean, I do things across the NFL in general, but I'm really on a Dallas beat. I'm actually the Dallas Cowboys insider. So you can follow me at the T-H-E Josh A. Vinson. That's spelled V-I-N-S-O-N. So it's T-H-E J-O-S-H-A-V-I-N-S-O-N. And you'll see all type of content from Dallas Cowboys. I still cover the Chicago Bulls. That's where the majority of my followers are from. I'm from Chicago. So, you know, definitely I'll have all your Bulls content. I still follow and keep up with Derrick Rose. I was not in Cleveland because I was doing filming here in Pittsburgh for a Cowboys game that's 3 weeks away. So, you know, look, that's called planning right there.
So, big time.
I'm over here filming for a Dak Prescott feature that we're dropping later on in November, 3 weeks ahead of time. So we're on it. So I got your Knicks beat. We're on Wizards beats. Kobe and I will be together a lot of this season, especially at the home games. I'm trying to convince Kobe to come on the road. Come on, Kobe. I wish Kobe was coming to Atlanta with me. But, you know, we're gonna maybe go on the road a couple of times, especially to the nice warm places. Like, when we get the West Coast, we definitely got to hit the West Coast together. But outside of that, yeah, so I'm giving you the type of journalist I am. If you've never heard of me or you're like, who is this guy that's looking like Vince Lombardi? If you could see the podcast, I am a feature story writer. So I am big on exclusives. I am the person that will give you exclusives with your favorite athletes, with some of the biggest names. And the cool thing about covering the Wizards, I had no idea I would be covering the Wizards. I am heavily sourced, as we say in journalism. I am heavily sourced in that locker room. So I would definitely be able to give you breaking news and exclusives and things of that nature, just like you can get elsewhere, but I'll get them first here at Fox Sports 1340 AM, your number one source for all things Washington Wizards. And I am your Dallas Cowboys number one source for all things for Dallas Cowboys in the Mid-Atlantic, not just Virginia, but the entire Mid-Atlantic. So that's big time. That's big time, right?
That's big time, man. Hey, can't complain with it. You know, guys, thanks for listening. For me, you can follow me at Kobe Jacobino. I'll spell it for you because nobody can spell it correctly. At Kobygiacubeno. So good luck finding me. If not, here's what you can do. Follow Fox Sports Radio 1340 at 1340 AM Fox Sports on Twitter. Be sure to like the page on Facebook. Subscribe to us on YouTube. We'll have we'll have these coming to you, you know, what, multiple times a week when we get every game.
Yeah.
You know, and be sure, guys, you know, for every episode, send questions, send topics to talk about. Of course, it's called the Wizards Windup. We can also talk about general NBA talk if that's what you guys want. It's about what you know, what the viewers want. Right now, as Josh said, we're filling the shoes of kind of being the number one place to go for Wizards in our area. So, you know, we're doing that. But if you need general NBA talk, we can give that to you too. Again, for Colby Giacobino, Josh Vincent, this has been Wizards Windup, 1340 AM Fox Sports Podcast, and we will talk to you guys soon.